Alright, so last week we discussed, we were discussing Vishimcha Kadosh, and we threw a little bit of Purim in there, and so tonight we're going to discuss Ukedoshim B'chol Yom Yehalelu Chasela, and if we get to the end of that line, then we will start discussing Kedusha, possibly tonight. So the next line here is Ukedoshim B'chol Yom Yehalelu Chasela. So there are a number of approaches in the Mefarshim. Who are the Kedoshim? The holy ones, every day praise you, Selah. And maybe we'll talk about what the word Selah means. But the holy ones. So who are the holy ones? So we have a number of approaches in the Mefarshim. We'll go through some of them. The Gra, Avni Eliyahu, says that the Kedoshim are Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people. It says in Parshas Yisro, Mamleches Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh, that Klal Yisrael is called a Goy Kadosh, a nation which is Kadosh, which is a part, which the Gra, and we discussed the idea of Kedusha, of Kadosh, means separate, that they're Nivdal, they're separated by the mitzvos, a nation which is distinguished from the other nations because they receive the mitzvos. So we have this idea that Mamleches Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh, that the idea of a Kohen, if you think about it, is really a public servant. A Kohen is there, like in the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim are there to facilitate the relationship of others to God. Shluchei Rachmaninu, Shluchei Didaninu, that they're either our messengers to God or God's messengers to us. But the Kohanim are Shluchim. The Kohanim are messengers. They're, you know, sort of a proxy to facilitate the relationship of others to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Klal Yisrael is Mamleches Kohanim, that we're meant to be stewards of the rest of creation, the rest of the nation, to facilitate the relationship with Hashem that the rest of the world is supposed to have with Hashem. We represent to them what the message of God is supposed to be. But this is accomplished specifically by being a Goy Kadosh, by being a separate nation, a nation whose values are internally defined and who's not affected by the moors and the vicissitudes of our surrounding cultures. That's exactly the way that we are Mamleches Kohanim, is specifically by being a Goy Kadosh, by maintaining our internal integrity, and by having an internally defined sense of values. So in that way, we can be a Mamleches Kohanim. But that's the Gra says that the Goy Kadosh, a nation which is separate, that's the Kedoshim. And what is it that the Kedoshim B'chol Yom Yehalelucha, that these Kedoshim, that they praise you every day? So says the Gra, that they praise you every day because they see the Hashgacha, they see that Hashem is involved in the world, is protecting them at all times, the constant involvement of Hashem every day. So every day they praise Hashem because every day they see the involvement of Hashem in protecting them and taking care of them.
Well, that's past tense, because the Kohanim did that when there was a Beis HaMikdash. How did the Gra view the Kohanim after the destruction?
Well, the intended role of the Kohanim is the same, right? The idea of what a Kohen is supposed to be
But if the Midah is in the present tense, so...
No, right, so that was a separate point, that I was just pointing out the idea of what it means to be a Goy Kadosh, that Mamleches Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh, that it's through being a Goy Kadosh that you're able to be a Mamleches Kohanim. But the idea of what it means to be a Goy Kadosh is just the fact that we are separated by the mitzvos. So Kedoshim B'chol Yom Yehalelucha is that those who are Kadosh, those who are separated by the mitzvos, the nation which is separate, distinguished by the mitzvos, so they are B'chol Yom Yehalelucha, they every day praise Hashem because the nation which is set apart, that they are able to see the Hashgach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they see that Hashem is always constantly involved in the world.
The Jewish people.
The Jewish people, yeah. The Rajba says that the Kedoshim is, says, the Sichlim Nivdalim. Sichlim Nivdalim is a term which refers to, I don't know the best translation, maybe divine entities, the spiritual concepts or spiritual entities, not quite angels, something with, you know, olamos and spheros and things like that, but they're these spiritual divine entities. That's the kadoshim that we're referring to. And what does the mean that they are that they are b'chol yomi ha'alucha? So says the Rashba that they're modim u'mahalalim, that they acknowledge and praise, they recognize that their dominion or that their power comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, comes from Hashem, that Hashem is the source of all kochos, of all powers, and even the highest spiritual entities, that their kochos, that they still get their kedusha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So praise Hashem in this context means that they acknowledge that his kedusha is primary, that all kedusha stems from his kedusha. I saw that Rabbi Zev Leff, in a similar vein, explains a medrash. The medrash in Breishis Rabbah in 92, that the medrash says that the pasuk says kedoshim to you, that you should be kedoshim. Yachol kamoni, maybe you would think you should be kedoshim like me, that you'll be kedoshim, that you'll be holy like me. Talmud lomar, comes the rest of the pasuk and teaches ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem, because that I Hashem am holy. Kedushasi lamalami kedushaschem, that my kedusha is above your kedusha. So says the Medrash, you might think that you'll be kadosh like me. So asks Rabbi Leff, like really? Like we'll actually have a havamin, we'll actually have a notion that our kedusha is going to be equivalent, the same level as a Kadosh Baruch's kedusha. You know, a Kadosh Baruch Hu is obviously so far above us. His kedusha is obviously so removed and superior to anything that we can, you know, even consider. So what does it mean, Yachol Kamuni, that you'll think that your kedusha will be, you know, like mine? So says Rabbi Leff that the Medrash is explaining is that we might think that our kedusha is a parallel, separate entity to that of Hashem's kedusha. We might think Hashem is kadosh, and we'll also be kadosh. That will be kadosh, just like Hashem is, you know, has his kedusha, so we'll have our own kedusha. And Talmud Lomar, what the verse comes and teaches, is ki kadosh ani, that I am kadosh, I am the only kadosh, I'm the only source of kedusha. And our kedusha is a product and an emanation of Hashem's kedusha. When the Medrash says that Hashem's kedusha is above yours, it's a description of origin, not a description of degree. That obviously it's understood that our kedusha is going to be a lesser level of kedusha, but the chiddush, the point that the Medrash is trying to make is that understand that our kedusha, that our ability to have kedusha derives from the fact that a Kadosh Baruch was kadosh. A third approach, the Rabbeinu Yehuda ben Yakar, we mentioned here before, one of the early Rishonim who wrote a commentary on Tefillah. So he says that the kedoshim are the neshamos of the tzaddikim, the souls of the righteous, that after they pass away, that after the righteous pass away and their neshamos are in Gan Eden, so they, after they've passed away, they can fulfill b'chol yom yahalalucha, that they praise you every day, because the reward of Olam Haba, the reward of the world to come, is, as the Gemara describes, the Rambam quotes, Lo achila v'lo shtia, ela tzadikim, yoshin v'etrosam v'rosham v'nanin miziv hashchina, that the world to come is not, it doesn't involve eating, it doesn't involve drinking, it doesn't involve physical pleasure, it's the righteous are sitting and they have the crown of, as the Rambam explains it, the crown of the knowledge which they accrued while they're alive, is the crown over their head, and they're nanin miziv hashchina, and they're, you know, basking in the glory and the light of the shchina. That the ultimate reward is being in the presence of Hashem, nanin miziv hashchina, being able to experience the shine, the glory of the Shekhinah, that is the final schar. And the reward of the tzaddikim is to praise Hashem, is to be able to appreciate to some degree Hashem's greatness. The hasaga, the comprehension of Hashem's gedula, being able to appreciate how great a Kadosh Baruch Hu is and to experience that and to connect to that, that is the schar of Olam Haba. The Ramchal discusses in a couple places, in Das Funos and in Derech Hashem, this idea that dveikus, that connecting to Hashem, and shlemus, being complete, are really two parts of the same idea, that the extent to which a person perfects himself is the extent to which he will be able to connect to the ultimate perfection, and that ultimate perfection is a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and experiencing ultimate perfection, that is the ultimate reward. The ultimate reward is to be able to connect to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, because that's the definition of completion, of perfection, of good. And therefore, the reward of the tzaddikim is to be mahalal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be able to truly appreciate Hashem's greatness, to be able to truly experience Hashem's shlemus and his tov. That is the ultimate reward. And therefore, the kedoshim, the tzaddikim, who are called kedoshim after their death, so they are the one that they are b'chol yom yahalelu chasela, that they're the ones who are constantly praising Hashem, because that is the state of their existence, is the reward of Olam Haba, is that state of being able to connect to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. One more approach, the Siach Yitzchak, or Yitzchak Eisenkover. So the Siach Yitzchak says that the Kedoshim being referred to are the Malachim ha'elyonim, ha'me'ulim b'hasagasam. He says that the angels, the lofty angels, with their elevated spiritual awareness, so even they describe Hashem as Kadosh. That the highest Kedoshim, the loftiest spiritual beings, that they realize that Hashem is the ultimate Kadosh. So just to kind of understand the point here, so it's easy for those who are low to recognize that the high are higher. You know, it's easy for us to see that Kadosh Baruch Hu is beyond us, and you know, it's not such a high standard to be beyond us. Sorry to say, but if a simpleton goes into a jewelry store and a diamond store, and he looks at the diamonds, and they all look exquisite to him, and they're all beautiful, and they're all amazing, and in his eyes, they're all, you know, priceless, because he doesn't have a refined sense in this type of quality. What would be novel, what would be impressive, would be when another jeweler, whose expertise is to differentiate between a true diamond and cubic zirconium, and he, his job, he deals with, you know, he's familiar with the brilliance of diamonds and what makes a diamond truly exquisite, and he declares a diamond to be exquisite, when he declares it to be, you know, something which is you know, priceless, so that's when you really know that this is really worth something. My father, he happens to be pretty good at the grill. He makes good steak, but I personally, you know, I'm not such a steak connoisseur, and you know, I'll take a hamburger and I'll be happy. You know, I like steak also, but so when I think that my father's steak is good steak, so you know, it's nice, but doesn't say very much. But when my friend, who happens to be a sommelier, he's a professional wine taster, and his job, sommelier is a professional wine taster, and his job, his profession, is the discernment of finer tastes. And he actually told me, when you are a sommelier, how you train for it and how you perform the job. What they do is they eat bland foods for weeks on end. They'll eat nothing with any flavor to it, so that their palate becomes, you know, incredibly sensitized to something which does have taste. And then when they taste something, they're supposed to be able to, I don't know if they actually tell the difference between, you know, cherry blossoms and, you know, peach peels or whatever it is that they write on the wine labels. But at the end of the day, they do have a very heightened sense of taste because of this. So when my friend, who was a sommelier, came over and had some of my father's steak, and he says this is amazing. So, you know, that's really that's someone whose profession is you know, determining what's a delicacy and what's not. So that's, you know, that's a real compliment. So the malat, when you know, we praise Hashem as being kadosh, so it doesn't say very much, because at the end of the day, you know, as far as we're concerned, you know, an angel is also very kadosh, and there's lots of kadosh in the world that
but angels can't do a thing but praise God. They have no power. So how could they even? How is that even close to Hashem's kadosh?
What do you mean?
As we understand angels, they have like almost no power. They can only do what they're told. They can't even do as much as men, human beings can do in terms of choosing right and wrong. I mean, so how? I don't see them as being so, you know, close to Hashem in that sense of what makes him special.
Well, they're not. I'm not sure what you mean by being close to Hashem in terms of what makes him special.
They're so high and so lofty that it's not such a.
I think what you were saying is that you need in other words, a compliment from someone who's not refined. It doesn't mean much, but someone who's very refined, it means a great deal. So we don't mean much, but angels mean a great deal. And what I think what Sudra is saying is like, but they're pre-programmed to do that. That's what they do. They can't choose to do it or not. So if it's coming from if it's part of what they do, even if they're higher than us spiritually, why is that more of a connoisseur than someone who can discern and choose and like and decide to do that because they have a choice not to?
Thank you. Couldn't have said it better. I didn't.
There's one issue here which is far beyond the scope of this discussion, which is exactly what the capacity of malachim is to actually make their own decisions. But I will just say that the Ramchal in Das Tfunos Chilik Beis does discuss this idea that malachim, as much as they don't have the ability to make moral decisions, they can't. They don't decide whether or not they want to listen to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but they do make what we would call intellectual decisions. They do make. They do actually decide how to perform their mission, and they do, you know, understand. They do have, as the Rambam writes, that they're Baalei Seichel and Baalei Deah. That the Ramchal actually uses this to explain how we find malachim. What we would call sinning, which the Ramchal says is not actually sinning, but is actually making mistakes, and that's part of the discussion I don't want to get into. But the Ramchal does discuss that angels are, as much as we view them as, you know, kind of just a mechanism of expression, but that they do have a certain element of, it's not autonomy, because they don't make their own moral decisions. But they do have their own sense of sort of understanding, and the way their Michal, they do decide how to carry out their mission. They don't decide whether or not to carry out their mission, but they decide how to carry out their mission. And so there is a certain level of seichel and hasaga of comprehension that malachim have.
So when they praise Hashem, it's they're choosing to praise Hashem, are they pre-programmed to praise Hashem?
Probably the latter. Probably the latter.
So it's a little bit of both. The truth is different malachim. There are malachim whose jobs are to say shira, but that the fact that the malachim recognize that Hashem is kadosh is because they actually recognize it. So Kadosh Baruch Hu has commanded them however you understand what the, you know, jobs of malachim, whatever it is, but the HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given them their role is to kind of declare that kedusha, but the starting point is that they have that they recognize that kedusha, and that's what the Siach Yitzchak is saying, is that even these malachim, who they have spiritual vision, they know kedusha when they see it, and they can't be fooled by an imitation. So they recognize that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is ultimately beyond them, that his Kedusha is, you know, the ultimate Kedusha. So the next part, so Kedoshim B'chol Yom Yahalu Chasel. So we touched a little bit at the beginning about B'chol Yom, But just to focus on it more directly, the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, so he says that Bechol Yom, we say that Kedoshim Bechol Yom, that Bechol Yom means every day. And the Gra says Sela means Kol Hayom, all of the day. So it's all of every day. The Gra says the word Sela comes from the word Mesila. The word Mesila means a path, which is something which summarize what he says, not to go through all, but that the idea of a path is something which connects all of the points together. He says that a mesila is something which threads through something. So the idea of sela is something which forms a path connects all of the points. So the kedoshim b'chol yom yahalucha sela. The Gra says it means that it's every day and it's all of every day. Exactly. Mm-hmm. That b'chol yom sela, basically 24/7. So the Gra says that that b'chol yom sela means all day, every day, 24/7. And someone who is kadosh in all of every day, someone who is constantly and consistently kadosh, so they are mahalel. Their existence is a praise of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Their existence causes praise of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So just exactly what that means. So there's a fascinating Ein Yaakov. The Ein Yaakov quotes a Medrash, which he, in the introduction to the Ein Yaakov, he quotes a Medrash, which he says he found once and he was unable to find again. So he doesn't give us the location of the Medrash. The Medrash is referred to by some others, but the Ein Yaakov says he's unable to find where the Medrash is. And the Medrash basically asks, what's a klal gadol in the Torah? What's a great rule in the Torah? So a lot of us know the first answer that the Medrash says, that Rabbi Akiva says, v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha zeh klal gadol b'Torah, that Rabbi Akiva says, v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, that you should love your neighbor, that or you should love your fellow as yourself, that's a klal gadol, that's a great rule in the Torah. Another Amora comes along and says that klal gadol b'Torah is Shema Yisrael, and another one comes along and says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and comes along Rav Shimon ben Pazi, and Rav Shimon ben Pazi says, what's a klal gadol Shabbat? And each one is basically coming in and going beyond the next, and Rav Shimon ben Pazi comes along and says, what is a klal gadol Shabbat Torah? And he says, Pasuk, which comes up twice in the Torah, Es hakeves ha'echad taseh b'boker, ves hakeves ha'echad taseh b'in arabayim. That, keves ha'sheni, thank you, taseh b'in arabayim. That the first lamb should be sacrificed in the morning, and the second lamb should be sacrificed in the afternoon, which is the Pasuk of the Korban HaTamid. Right? And the Medrash actually concludes and says that you don't find this normally, you find this only by halacha, not by agada, but the Medrash here concludes, halacha kedivrei Rav Shimon ben Pazi. The halacha is like Rav Shimon ben Pazi, that he's the answer, yes, that we go with, right? So exactly what's the idea that, so the Ein Yaakov gives a certain interpretation of this Medrash, but to talk about a different approach of what exactly the idea of this Medrash is, and what the Medrash seems to be communicating is that the biggest rule in the Torah is consistency. Because what you do consistently shows who you really are. Someone who does a great thing one time, so it's a great thing, but it's the result of a moment of inspiration. It doesn't show who you really are. It doesn't show who a person really is. If you do something small, you keep doing it, so that shows that it's really a part of you. It's really something that is that defines you. That's something that you do consistently. That's something that's really a part of who you are. You know, you can have someone who gives, you know, goes to some inspiring event or lecture or whatever it is, and you know, decides to make a $10,000 donation to Rabbi Zakim. Right? I won't say no, but. But then you have someone else who every day they give, you know, a few dollars to tzedakah, I don't have to talk about whether it adds up to the same 10,000 or not, but it's a constant that's, you know, it's small individual acts of giving, but at the end of the day, it's consistent. It's because giving is part of who they are. It's not that they had a moment of inspiration and decided to do. It's that they have a, that's really part of their of their personality. It's part of who they are. As they say, the Ravid says, it's referred to as the Tainus HaRavid, that much greater than fasting and not eating or drinking anything for a whole day is to consistently not eat to your fill, to always leave a meal unfinished, which doesn't mean to waste food. It doesn't mean you leave some food on your plate. It means you eat less than your fill and you leave yourself, you know, unsatiated every time. That's much more of something which is a midah than, you know, than a fast. A fast is, you know, a one-time thing. It's much more of a constant working on a work of self-restraint when it's something which is done consistently. The idea, the difference between a massage, the stimulating your muscles, or a massage versus exercise. A massage is something which is external input. It's, you know, diminishing returns. The longer it goes for, the more your senses become dull to it. And it doesn't stay with you. You know, 10 minutes after, I don't know, 10 minutes, you get a good massage, and maybe, you know, 4 or 5 hours later. But, you know, it doesn't stay with you. The next day, the relaxation, the effect on your muscles of a massage is gone. As opposed to exercise, it's your own effort. It's just as effective the longer you keep at it. So the more you have to, you'll eventually switch from muscle building to muscle toning at some point. But it's the longer, the more you do it, it continues to be effective. The longer you keep at it, the more it does, and it stays with you. You if you stop exercise and actually have in I don't know what it's called, exercise science. It has some more official name to it. Something called
kinesiology or something.
Kinesiology. They have something called muscle memory. Muscle memory is that if you've built up muscle and then you stop exercising, that when you start again, your muscle will reform much faster because you have something called muscle memory. But something which you did, which is, you know, you put the work in yourself, so that's there now. That's something that doesn't go away just because, you know, because the input stopped. And that's really the difference between a moment of inspiration as something which is external, something which is inspired from outside of you, and something which you work on yourself. We had in last week's Parsha, it's a similar idea. It's not the exact same thing, but since it's the Parsha we read yesterday, I could still talk about it. So we have in Kisisa, you have the Luchos Rishonos and the Luchos Shnios. You have that there's the first Luchos, and the first Luchos get destroyed, and then the second Luchos are the ones that remain. And the Medrash says that the Luchos Rishonos, that they were given bepumbi, they were given in a great public demonstration. It was bekolos uvrakim. There were, you know, the sound and light display, as opposed to the Luchos Shnios, they were given betina, they were given quietly, they were given in private. And the Luchos, which the Medrash basically partly implies, partly says explicitly, that the Luchos Rishonos didn't make it because they were given bepumbi, because it was given in such a public, open way. And the Luchos Shnios, those were the ones which lasted. The Luchos Shnios were the ones that survived. And, you know, on one level, you know, the message in the Medrash about the value of tznius and the value of doing something quietly, but just to talk about the Luchos Rishonos and Luchos Shnios, you really see this as a theme, that if the Medrash says that if you looked at the Luchos Rishonos, so you would never forget what you learned. If you would look at the Luchos Rishonos, so you would never forget what you learned. The second Luchos required immense effort to understand and to remember. The first Luchos, they were externally inspired. There was the sound and the light display. That was easy to lose. That was easy come, easy go. That was something which was, you know, a big inspiring event. And that those Luchos, they got destroyed. But the Luchos which lasted were the Luchos which involved, you know, a quiet and internal acceptance. It showed something which was more something real to the person. It wasn't, you know, a big show. It wasn't a big external event. It was something which was quiet and done in private, which is something which is more something you're doing for yourself. Something you're doing more for yourself. Something which that's much more a part of you. So the kedoshim b'chol yom show that kedusha is part of their essence. And that display that of Kedusha, that there's a reality of Kedusha, that you can reach that in this world. So those Kedoshim, those people who are live a life of constant Kedusha, so they are Yahalalucha, that they praise Hashem. Their existence is a praise of Hashem. Their existence brings about a recognition in the world of the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All right, we'll pause here for tonight, and next week we will start Kedusha.
You have to stand for that class.